Morning, guys. Mike asked me to share just the journey that I've been on the last 2 years. I left my old church a couple of years ago. I was at a place where I was quite frustrated with church and with church life and religion, and I was at a place where I was really seeking God and I was seeking relationship with God. So God released me from the church. I went through a long season of frustration, and finally God released me from the church. And I went to France for a week, just in the mountains, just to see God about where to go next, you know. And I was praying and asking Him, you know, God, if you want to take me to Africa, if you want to take me to the States, put me into a place where I can learn of you, you know. And He didn't really tell me anything while I was there, you know. And I felt peace, and I felt right. I've prayed the right prayers, and I came back here, and I thought, well, I need to visit a few churches while I'm here and waiting on God for where He's gonna lead me. So I stepped through the door one Sunday morning. I think it was a couple of weeks after my visit to France, and as I walked through the doors, God spoke to me straight away. He said, "This is where I want you." And I was quite like, I know what freedom, or I thought I knew what freedom was about. It was about guys who struggle with drugs, and it's not my scene. I was never into drugs. And I was like, flip, you know, this, am I hearing right? And I heard Him talk clearly to me, this is where you need to be. So I sat down. Mike started a series on destiny, which is exactly what I was looking after. I was blown away, really. And afterwards, Joe and Mark prophesied something over me, which exactly what God said to me in the mountains, like word for word. So I knew this is where I had to be. From the beginning, since I've been here, I've been very blessed here. You know, the worship, the teaching, everything has impacted me on a much larger scale than I've had before. And I think my hunger, my search for God has really been, you know, I felt like for the first time in my life, I was given solid food, something that I could chew on. You know, something I was challenged with and something I could go home with and mull with, and something that sort of got me into a relationship with God, you know. And I'll fast forward quite quickly, but the last year, you know, I think after the visit from Ian Clayton last year, for me it's been very challenging. The teaching that he came and the things that he brought and the kind of experiences that he's had really challenged my mindset. And I really realized that, you know, the church in general and myself, we've been stuck in a kind of place of religion, you know. Yeah. And the world out there is not after religion. They're after something much more than that. Everyone, all my unsaved friends, they're looking for something real. You know, they're looking for something that is a reality, something that will fill that gap in your heart and your spirit that's longing for God, you know? I went through a stage where I was really listening to the teaching and I was practicing it, and I felt quite a lot of resistance. I don't know if any one of you has really gone after this stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of opposition because the devil doesn't want you to enter into those kind of places and experiences, you know? So I would say the last year for me has been a hard year, a really hard year. And I went through the winter, and I was at a place in, because of the long winter and the awful summers that we've had, I went through a stage in March, April this year where I got to that stage of fed upness again, where I was 2 years ago. I was just like, you know, I sort of lost my joy for some reason. You know, I felt I need the sunshine. You know, I grew up in a country where we had 300 days of sunshine given every year, you know. I was struggling, you know, and I had to sit down and I had to admit to myself, you know, drop my pride and say, you know, I'm honestly not happy, you know, and I had to really go and search what was wrong. So, you know, thankfully God gave us the best summer this year. You know, it was, honestly, if it wasn't for this summer, I don't know how I would have made it. But anyway, so at the beginning of the summer, you know, some of you guys met Paul, who came here, the American guy. I met him one Sunday morning. He just came up the stairs. We just hit off straight away. And we became really good friends, like, from the first second. And we spent quite a lot of time through the summer. We went camping. We went barbecuing. And I spent time with him. And I realized, just by spending time with him, you know, he's 62. So he's like a father figure to me. I realized that I still had a massive father wound in my heart. You know, I talked to him about it. And then, you know, I know from previous churches and from books that I've read, you know, I knew in my heart that I had an orphan spirit. Something that I've had since birth. And I've tried to deal with it in previous years. And I don't know if you guys know Mark Stibbe. He's written quite a few books on the Father Heart of God, and I've worked through some of those books, but always end up in tears, you know, halfway through the books and not really getting breakthrough in those areas. But I think this year, through my relationship with Paul and then through the teaching of Mike, you know, I really felt a lot of breakthrough and, you know, a kind of, you get to the crossroads and you've got to choose if you're going to continue to be an orphan or you're going to accept and receive the love of Father God into your heart. You know, it's a choice. I realized it's a choice. It's nothing else. You have to actually forcefully believe it and override the thoughts and the ways of thinking, you know? So about a month ago, I went to Italy, to see my mom and dad and my sister and her husband. And we spent 3 days together, and every time me and my dad spend time together, we sort of end up fighting, or, you know, there's just never really been a great relationship. And I wouldn't say it was amazing, but, you know, we didn't fight. You know, we spent 3 days together, we parted our ways, and when they left, I just felt a massive burden just fall off my shoulders. You know, like, and I realized, and with my discussions with Mike, I've been spending a lot of time with him over the last 2 months. I realized that I've taken on the burden for my father. I've tried to carry that burden, to try and change him and to try and take responsibilities for his actions and his behaviors and all the kind of stuff. And I've forcefully tried to change him, which is impossible. So I think all of that guilt and condemnation just fell off my shoulders, and I felt free again, and I felt my joy returning again. You know, I think I've made peace with the fact, and I've realized that in some relationships, if a relationship comes from two sides, and if one party is not willing to work on a relationship, it will never work. And sometimes you have to make that decision to let things go, to give it to God, and then it's your responsibility to keep praying for that person. But if that person doesn't want relationship with you back, you can't force a relationship. It has to come from both sides in love. Another obstacle in my life that I've found out in the last year is, I've always had this sense of not belonging, you know, and I've had it since I was a boy. I never felt like I belonged in society. I always felt like the odd one out. And I never really realized why. And, you know, with all the teaching about the DNA and the generational stuff, and I've read quite a lot of books by Derek Prince on curses and about, you know, the DNA and the bloodlines and the generational curses over families. I did some research into my family line, and I discovered there was murder in my family two generations ago. So it all became very real to me, because I realized that once someone in your family has murdered someone, that blood of that victim cries out to God, and the rest of the bloodline is cursed. And it puts a sort of sign on your forehead that you are like Cain. You were thrown out of society. You were a wanderer. And that's how I felt all my life. Like, I was wandering from place to place. I never had a home. Me and Mike dealt with that thing. And I realized that spirit of murder has opened up a pathway in my family for the spirit of murder and anger to manifest in all the different members, you know, and it's clear as day, and I never understood it, why everyone in my family is so angry, and now I do understand it, and I closed that door towards my life, you know, and I still have to, I have discussed it with certain members of my family, but all my family is not saved. So that is one of the things that God has really released me from. And when I came back from Italy, I finally found like I'm coming home for the first time in a long time. So through the teaching of sonship and orphanship, I think what I've realized when I was away is you have to take every thought captive. You know, when we've been programmed through society that we have to think a certain way and you've got to act a certain way. And now when I think like the old way, you have to really grab hold of that thought, take it captive, bring it before God, and say, you know, I am a son of God and I will stop thinking this way. So for my destiny, I've done some research, because for me it's important, you know, because I felt like a wanderer all my life, you know. I've done some research in the past, and, you know, your name is very important, you know, and I did some research on what does Derek mean. And it means, the name Derek means leader of men. And my surname means the joyful one. You know, so those things are important for me, you know, because I've always felt like the burden that I carry and the passion that I have is for men, to raise men up, to raise strong Christian men with principle and with backbone, people who can stand and that are getting prepared for the end times, you know, for men to be rulers in their household, for men to be, you know, real lovers of their wives, you know, to raise good godly children. And also for men to be strong in the spirit and to take, for us to know our identity, to take dominion over principalities and powers, over demons, and to help release the captive, you know, and to set free the brokenhearted. So while I was away, you know, I was just thinking how I was listening to loads and loads of teachings while I was away in Italy and Switzerland, just praying to God, how are we going to do this? You know, and I've just sort of made a couple of points here, for everyone really, but for men especially, is to fulfill our destiny, you have to make a decision to totally surrender to God's purpose for your life. You know, you have to come to the cross and decide to abandon your life, to die to self and to your own selfish ambitions. It's very important that we lay the right foundations in our Christian lives, you know, the foundations that Christ lay, you know, and the foundations that our whole Christian life is based upon is love. You know, if we don't walk and move in love, then nothing else will work. We will get we will start into religious activities and into works, which will never bear fruit. You know, I think it's very important that we start practicing the words of Christ in the Gospels. You know, he wasn't suggesting stuff, he was telling stuff, you know. The stuff that he says, he wasn't mincing his words. You know, we need to walk in love, we need to walk in forgiveness. You know, those are, for me, are the two principal things and foundations in Christian life. So yeah, that's pretty much the walk I've had over the last 2 years. And I just wanted to thank everybody here, and I want to thank, you know, the kind of atmosphere that people set, the worship team, everyone else. And, you know, like I say, I think we need to honor Mike for the things that he's brought to this church and for the sacrifices that he's made. I think in the Western society, we don't honor men. And I think he's a man of God. And, you know, I honor him and I bless him and everyone. Yeah. Thank you.